All right. We will now call to order the September 11, 2012 special magistrate proceedings for the city of Daytona Beach to order. As you have said, on this 11th anniversary, and must be the best day of American history. That having been said, I reviewed the minutes of the August 4, 2012 meeting and approved them. Do we have any announcements to be made before we proceed?
None that I'm aware of, Mr. Fekelda.
Okay. Then we'll proceed directly with the hearing of the cases. Case number one.
Should we swear in the staff?
I'm sorry. Will all those representatives for the city of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings, please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Case number one, Georgia Washington Jackson Estate.
Good morning, Mr. Vercaggio. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. 338 Fulton Street is still in non-compliance. City is requesting $100 a day for non-compliance, cap at 15.
And what, if anything, is the respondent done in the way of coming into compliance?
Nothing. The property currently now is vacant, but it's still trash, junk, and debris throughout the property. The property is just closed up and vacant. Nothing has been done to the property.
All right. Then I will order the respondent to be fined the sum of $100 per day, commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter, until the property is in compliance or the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number two, Raymond A. Brewster. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
341 Fulton Street is still in non-compliance. Currently, as of today's date, there's no permits that has been pulled or obtained by the property owner. The property is still in disrepair. City is requesting $100 a day for each day of non-compliance. Property is vacant. Cap is at 15.
All right. Once again, not having heard from the respondent, based on our inspector's report, I will fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number three I have as being in compliance.
That's correct.
Case number four, Mildred A. Barth. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
645 South Seagrave Street. City's requesting $100 a day for non-compliance. The property is still trash, junk, and debris, barbed wire on the fence. No repair. As of today's date, cap is at 15.
Based on our inspector's report, I will fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number five, O'Neill Family W&H LP and John Birch. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Name, John Birch.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Just make sure you pick up the mic. You're pretty tall, so if you can pick up the microphone when you speak, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, this matter is here for exceeding the scope of permits. And I have the vaguest of recollections that the topic of discussion was going to be perhaps the cost to repair versus the value of the property or something along those lines. Is that correct?
No, sir.
No, sir, actually.
All right, well, why don't you go ahead and bring me up?
Good morning. My name is John Stenson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG031241, City of Daytona Beach versus O'Neill Family W and HP and John Birch. Property address is 755 Berkshire Road, parcel ID is 523-808-030110. Today we are here to discuss the imposition of a fine for no permit application submitted and a post fine for noncompliance. As of 7/16, Mr. Birch applied for a renovation permit. This permit is still under review as of 7/16. No other activity.
Okay, well, I wish I had the minutes of whatever meeting we had the last time we discussed this, because I can't for the life of me recall what we had put in place that we were going to hear reported on today.
It should be in the order.
Pardon?
Last order. It should be in the last order.
Hang on one second.
Okay.
The May order?
Well, I'm looking at the July order.
Or July, okay.
Okay, respondents required to submit the permit application by September 5, 2012. And it seems to me that the significance of the permit application was that was going to bring to a head whether or not he would be allowed to renovate this property at all. Because I thought there was like a threshold question as to whether he'd even qualify for a permit before we started talking about coming into compliance by obtaining the proper permits. Am I mistaken about that?
Yes, sir.
I am mistaken about that. That's twice I've been told I was mistaken.
We had a meeting with the city, the head of the building department, and they said they were going to let me get a permit, and that's why I submitted like you told me to. They told me to get a set of architectural plans. They work right with the architect. They're working with him now. He's going to get a set of drawings. At the moment, the building department was working with the architect, and they said they're going to let me do it. So that's why I submitted my application. And on the application, they told me to get a set of drawings, and I got to get a survey. So that's in the process right now. I should have everything ready by within a week or two. So I've
okay,
done.
So it's your testimony that you believe you're going to be getting a permit?
What do you mean, believe? The city said they was going to they already said they're going to let me get a permit. So why would I go and hire an architect at $2,000 I paid him to do what the city asked me to do?
Well, under the rubric of stuff happens, let's just assume for a moment that there might be some obstacles along the way. So is what you're trying to tell me that you have a reasonable belief that the city will be issuing you a permit?
I don't have no reasonable belief. I have a 100%. They told me they were going to let me do it. I talked to the head man.
Appreciate your confidence.
We had a meeting with the building department. Ron Roberts was in the meeting. John Birch was in the meeting. And Mr. Paul McKitchen, who is head of. So they told me to do what they told me to do, and they was going to let me do it. They also gave me back my check. Like I said, they had my money for the last year, so they gave me a check the last week. So I have given the architect money to do what the city of Daytona told me to do. So I have men over there working now. So if I'm wasting my money, the city need to let me know, because I've given the architect $2,000, and I've got men working now.
Well, as I recall part of the conversation, and I'm not quite as addle as I'm acting today, it was that you needed to take a look at this to see if it was worthy investing any money to begin with. So the fact that your money is there now, is really of no moment to me. The question was whether or not you were going to satisfy the criteria necessary in order to be eligible for a permit. That's the question I keep coming back to. So, on that note, does that mean the city has come to the conclusion that the value of the property is such that the cost of the renovation doesn't exceed the prohibition against rehabbing property?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
They
That's
waived
all I need
the
60%
rule.
They did what now?
They waived the rule.
They waived it.
The mic. they had a rule, you know, they did have that rule of 60%, but if you recall, the housing market has failed tremendously. Right. So that's why they also gave me a permit for that house. So now they told me, I tell you what, since we gave you a permit and we need to satisfy what we, because they made the mistake, I didn't. So I went before the city commission board, before the mayor, and I stood right here. And I pleaded my case because you shouldn't have gave me a permit if you didn't want me to do it. They gave me a permit. I paid for a permit.
Okay, so far, the only thing that you've said that's of any interest to me is that they waived this percentage because that was the topic of conversation. Because I'm trying to keep us on task here as far as how this case has evolved. So what you're telling me is that this requirement, this 60-40 requirement or whatever it was, has been waived by the city, and with that, you believe you're going to be getting a permit.
I'm going to rephrase it, not believe. I know they told me out of their mouth, Mr. Birch, do what we ask you to do, and they call the architect themselves, and they talk with the architect, Mr. Heath, and if you want the number, I will give it to you. And they talked with the architect. They told him what they needed him to do, and he's doing it now. And I've given him money, sir. And I'm over there cleaning the house out now. I boarded it up this morning. So I'm cleaning out all that junk that I didn't put in the house. So that's what I'm doing now. And I don't believe that's what they said out their mouth.
Okay. What say the city?
Mr. Couch, I just really came up for one purpose, trying to remind you of the last proceeding. And then in that proceeding, the position of the city was that we did not believe that the 65% rule would apply, that it had been reassessed as to the way that we have been applying it. And in this situation, it was not going to be applied. And so at the last meeting, we had acknowledged that the 65% rule would not be applied in this situation in determining whether or not he got a permit, that ultimately the determination was going to be him weighing the cost benefit of what it was going to take versus and whatever requirements were necessary for amending to code requirements as generally occurs when someone is rebuilding from the state status that he was doing. What I was told by the inspector is that as we look at the permit application, or at least I was not a part of the meeting that Mr. Burke is referring to, but the status is that corrections required, and whatever that means, I would have to presume it means whatever Mr. Burke is telling us, that he has things that, I guess, from the architectural determinations that will ultimately be required before he's able to actually have his permit. But I'd have to look to the staff for a bit more clarification of what that would mean in their interpretation. But back to the 65% rule, our position has been, as of the last meeting, that we agreed that the 65% rule would not be applied in this situation.
Okay, so there is a permit application pending, which from this order was the only thing that we were requiring. And we were requiring that it be done by September 5th. So I'm hearing that a permit application has now been submitted. And at some point, somebody may want to present me with argument as to when I should order the man to come into compliance. And the only thing I have right now is conversation regarding a permit application being pending, which the respondent tells me quite confidently will happen. And so now the question to the city is this permit going to happen, or is it going to be, there are going to be problems? What can somebody shed some light on this?
Currently, I couldn't tell you if it's going to be issued, for a fact. I do know is that he applied for it on 7/16, and on 8/1, Ron Roberts, the acting building official, has put in his notes that corrections are required for his permit application. So he did apply, but there are corrections required by the building department. What those corrections are, I do not know.
Okay, and what's the relief the city's looking for right now? I mean, it says right here, action to be taken, impose fine if no permit application submitted.
I submitted it, so I don't.
I didn't talk to you. I didn't ask you a question. I was talking to them.
No problem.
Okay. It would behoove you to keep in mind how it is you've come to be before this panel as long as you have.
Yes, sir. And if you could conclude that they gave me a permit. That's what the main argument was. The city gave me a permit. I submitted for a homeowner permit.
We had this conversation before.
I just want to make sure
you and I had sharply differing attitudes regarding who did what,
regarding
who did what to whom.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm sorry. I digress.
Mr. Vukelja, the position of the city is that the order that we had as to imposing a fine was an interim order, that ultimately the desire is for this house to come into compliance, and we won't really know how much work or what that will take until permit issues ultimately. So I guess with that being understood, probably our next threshold question would be the anticipation of the actual issuance of the permit. And I don't know if that would be dealt with at this stage.
Well, see, this is why I ask these questions, because I'm the one who's supposed to fill in the schedule here. So the question is going to be, do we reasonably anticipate a permit will be in hand by the next meeting, such that I should ask for I'm probably going to ask for a progress report anyway. And I'm really not trying to hold anyone's feet to the fire. I just want some answers.
If we can have just a moment, we just received a copy of a document from the, I presume that's the technical review meeting.
Mr. Vukelja, I hold in my hands a note from the building official. It's a building review, and basically what it's stating is that if Mr. Birch satisfies the comments and the recommendations that they have asked for as far as the corrections to his permit application, a permit will be issued within 30 days. And I can bring this up to you.
Okay, well, then it sounds to me as though this is going to continue to be a work in progress. All right, so that having been said, I'm going to continue this matter. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Almost.
I'm going to continue this matter to the October 9, 2012 meeting. At that point, hopefully, we'll have a little more information regarding the status of the permit.
Yes, sir. And if, according to the building official, and based on Mr. Birch's testimony that he just gave this presented this morning, the building official is asking that you reiterate to Mr. Birch that he is not to do any type of work on that house until the permit has been issued.
No work will be done. All I'm doing right now is cleaning it up. He told me I could clean up that property. So that's what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing.
You need to understand, if you start covering up stuff that people need to inspect, then they're going to tell you to rip it up so they can look underneath.
And I understand that. I'm just cleaning up. That's all. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go ahead and continue. I'm going to continue this matter until the October 9, 2012 meeting. And in the interim, aside from keeping the premise, the exterior cleared and clean, any other work until the permit is resolved. And I'm assuming by October 9, 2012, we'll have more information regarding the status of the permit, and at that time we can address the imposition of the fine, whether a new compliance date is going to be imposed, and if so, when that will be. Okay? Case number 6, Nayel and Mata Hanush and SunTrust Bank. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
Good morning, Mr. Koza. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG 081263. The city of Daytona Beach versus Nyla and Majda Hanush and SunTrust Bank. We're here to discuss the landscaping, screens, exterior surfaces, unmaintained and unsecure pool and property. Currently, the landscaping is being maintained.
the security of the property changes almost on a daily basis. And when I say changes, it means sometimes it's locked and sometimes it's not. The pool screen has been repaired. However, it's just been left unsecure. And as you can tell by the pool, it is still unmaintained. The city is asking for $100 per day to be capped at $15,000 until compliance is met.
Okay. Is the pool's area secured?
Negative.
So the pool's accessible?
That's correct.
And the pool's unkempt?
That's correct.
And this is a residential area?
Yes, it is. LPGA.
And they've been told to take care of the pool?
I've been in contact with the Homeowners Association. A couple of realtors. The actual property owner has been unresponsive. The Homeowners Association has taken the task of maintaining the landscaping, and they're billing the homeowner, which isn't our concern. But as of right now, decided violations have not been corrected as far as the pool and security of the property.
And what did you propose in the way of a fine?
$100 a day to be capped at 15. I'd like to mention that this came from a city manager complaint.
Well, that doesn't concern me, but when it comes to your pools, those always get the priority around here. Especially if they're accessible. I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $150 per day commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter, until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine is reached to sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, Mary F. Hensler.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG-0212-65, City of Daytona Beach versus Mary F. Kinsler. Property address is 740 White Street. The violations are tree debris in the front yard, dilapidated fencing, dilapidated roof. Currently, the tree debris has been corrected. However, the roof and the fencing violations still exist. I've been in contact with the property owner. She is claiming that the property is going into foreclosure. However, I found no documentation of a list pendants or anything to that effect. As of right now, property is in non-compliance. City would like to impose a fine of $100 per day to be capped at $15,000 or until compliance is met.
Okay. Respondent not having appeared, based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance with the amount of the fine, which is the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 9, Ali Darren Jafrudi.
Good morning. My name is.
I don't say this, but where's Mr. Jafrudi?
I don't have an answer to that question.
In the middle as we attend to the next 11 cases.
I
no one knows.
Don't have that answer. Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is going to be covering cases 9. The first case number is going to be SMG-021219, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jafrudi. This is in reference to the trailer park at 10 Allison Lane, also known as 646 North Beach Street.
Before we begin, the last property inspection was conducted on 9/5. All the inspectors were present. The supervisor was present. The police department was present. The inspection was photographed and videotaped by the Code Enforcement Division. Our first exhibit we'd like to introduce is going to be the video of the inspection. It's 22 minutes long. You can view it, speed through it, pause it, and then we can continue. I also have a list of the violations that were noted on that particular day of 9/5, if you need a copy to go along with your packet.
Well, let me ask you this. In our ongoing saga with Mr. Jaffruti in this park, is there something uniquely specific to these cases 9 through 20 that's different from any of the others?
To be quite honest with you, Mr. Pankalja.
Like our 30-day batch, our 60-day batch, our 90-day batch.
What?
This is your 90-day batch.
There you go. Okay.
To include the Kingston property. And in general, the property remains in noncompliance.
Okay. Well, let's start with 10 Allison Lane in common areas. What is you're telling me it's still not in compliance?
That's correct.
And what, if any, work's been done by the respondent? Some? A lot, next to nothing, almost finished.
In my opinion, I have to say next to nothing.
Okay, and the inspection last conducted was on September 5th.
Correct. These pictures that you're viewing right now were taken on September 5th, just of the... Excuse me, the common areas.
10 Allison Lane common areas?
Yes, sir.
So why don't you tell me what I'm looking at?
This is the dumpster, which is supposed to have had an enclosure built around it. Clearly, you can tell it hasn't. That is water supply coming from somewhere in the trailer park, supplying a trailer. This is a photograph of one of the power banks from FPL.
What's the problem with the power bank?
When we arrived on location that morning, FPL was there inspecting all the meters, and we videotaped him with illegally jumped out meters from someone. I don't know who. However, the condition was hazardous. FPL removed it, and it's a violation that we've seen on that property numerous occasions.
Okay. All right, so he's still in non-compliance. Tell me next to nothing's been done. What does the city propose?
The city is proposing to impose a fine of $500 per day to be capped at $15,000. Or until compliance is met.
And even though Mr. Jaffruti's not here, does anybody have any idea what his excuse or explanation is going to be for this not being in compliance?
Interesting enough, I provided you with his latest email. Should be sitting on your far left.
Is that this?
The second, first page, rather.
Is that this?
Yes, sir.
Let's have a discussion for a moment, because I have a feeling this is going to be important for a lot of purposes. How do you arrive at your $500 per day? And the reason I'm asking for your edification is because there are criteria in the ordinance as far as what I'm supposed to find and why I'm supposed to do it. So, just in case we end up having a lot of these that end up being reviewed in another arena someday, how does the city arrive at its $500 per day?
The 500.
And also, let me hasten to add, I don't have a problem with the fact that we've already done that, because that was a prospective fine that Mr. Japrudi could have avoided altogether by focusing on those units and bringing them into compliance, which he did not do. So I don't have a problem with that at all. Now we're talking fines going forward, and so I guess what I'm just interested in hearing is some sort of rational basis for the amount of the fine vis-a-vis the nature of the violation and the other purposes to be served by the ordinance that permits us to do so. So I want to hear somebody articulate $500 and why. And I'm also mindful of the fact, let me add that, that at some point the amount of the fine, relatively speaking, is going to be viewed in light of the value of the property. And not to disparage Mr. Japrudi or his property, I would assume the value of these trailers would be somewhat minimal. In other words, I think in a week's time you would have already bought the trailer.
Mr. Kelly, the city arrived at the value of $500 per day because of the egregious nature of all the violations on the property and the amount of time the city has spent attempting to bring this property back into compliance while working with this particular property owner. Throughout the course of this investigation and these inspections, the city has encountered quite a bit of resistance, non-cooperation, however you want to put it. However, ultimately, the egregiousness of the violations on the property, I believe, warrant a $500 per day.
Mr. Kells, if I can add as well, I think based on the record up to this point, there's also been minimal effort to comply with the specific property, as he's shown by the the review of the photos, and I don't know yet with the video, but as to the photos and the discussion we just had concerning the specific property or the specific violation, it's clear that the violator made minimal efforts to comply.
Well, I suspect there might be some merit, because I'm not supposed to sound too opinionated here, but I suspect there might be some merit to the notion that Mr. Japrudi is not the most cooperative man in the world. You can forget any discussion about aesthetics when it comes to that part, that's for certain. But that having been said, when you're talking about egregiousness, for example, in this case, egregiousness to me means you're telling me someone's swapping out power meters, which sounds unbelievably dangerous to me. So that kind of egregiousness I can wrap my arms around. I can understand that. I guess the bottom line is, if you're confident that kind of an amount is sustainable elsewhere, that's your call. I mean, relatively speaking, $500 a day? Yeah, I suppose. I think it's severe in relation to the value of the trailers that we're talking about. I don't consider it severe given the attitude of the property owner. I don't consider it severe given the work that's been requested and the time that's been allotted and the fact that it hasn't been done. And I don't consider it severe when we start talking about life safety issues that make the property owner's compliance even that more important. So, but here again, when we start talking about these numbers, they're somewhat arbitrary. And if you're comfortable with it, that's all I want to hear, Mr. City Attorney.
Yes, Mr. Fickells, we're comfortable with that amount being our request.
I will find a respondent to sum of $500 per day. commencing September 5, 2012, each day thereafter until the respondent is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of, is it $15,000 or
$20,000?
$15,000, whichever occurs first. Okay. Case number 10, Ali Darren Jafruti. Now we're talking about 105 Allison Lane.
Yes, sir. The reinspection on this particular trailer was performed on 9/5/12, just as the entire property. 105 Allison, at that time, still had broken windows and illegal inoperative stairs. Property owner has been advised of this multiple times. Conditions still exist. City is asking for $500 per day until compliance is met or until it maxes out at $15,000.
Okay, but what we're talking about here now, in this case, is broken windows and stairs?
That's correct.
That doesn't sound all that egregious. Now, don't misunderstand me. The property owner's lack of cooperation is egregious. But relatively speaking, it sounds less egregious than the case we just talked about.
This is true.
The case we just talked about appeared to have some life safety issues that would be a particular concern for the city.
Well, the city feels that these broken windows, these inoperative windows, which have been screwed shut, found to be screwed shut, they do present a life safety hazard. Because if you have a fire in there and they can't get out the door, how are they going to get out?
All right. I will fine the respondent the sum of $500 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 11, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 111.
This is case number SMG0212-22, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jafruti. This property address is 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 111. As of 9/5, this particular trailer was found to have broken windows, mold, plumbing leaks, and dilapidated interior surfaces. These are the same violations that have been addressed throughout this case, and the city is asking for a fine of $500 per day until compliance is met or until it maxes out at $15,000.
And as far as this unit goes, some work, no work, lots of work?
Very, very little, since the pictures come back up. Very, very little. And that's going to be the response for the majority of the property. Let me get uh, 111, not the Madison side. Three doors, stairs, exterior surfaces.
Articulate for me on this unit as well what you consider those issues relative to life safety.
Relative to life safety, those issues don't fall into that criteria. However, the violations are present and have been since the beginning of this case. I believe his lack of progress would warrant the fine that the city is asking for.
I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. I want the minutes to reflect that as we've gone through each of these cases, first off, Mr. Jacruti is not present. Secondly, we've had our inspector testify as to those matters that he's seen as a result of a recent inspection. And thirdly, he has also testified to a range of violations that go from, I guess you would say, mechanical repairs all the way to life safety issues that are all taken into consideration in formulating whatever fines are going to be administered here, as opposed to some uniform amount just granted across the board, regardless of the nature of the violations. Okay. Case number 12, Mr. Jacruti, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 111, Madison Avenue South.
Okay, Mr. Picazzi, this is case number SMG021224, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jacruti. Property address 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 111, Madison Avenue side. As you can tell by the photographs, the last inspection was on 9-5. Excuse me. 111 is vacant. However, the property manager or the worker on the property was asked to give us access to any vacant trailers. And as you can tell on the videotape, he stated that the doors are screwed shut and the owner has not provided him with any keys to vacant trailers.
Can you say that one more time?
Any vacant trailers on the property.
I mean the doors are
screwed shut, and the person in charge on the property during the inspection stated that the owner has not provided him with any keys to the vacant trailers.
Well, the doors are screwed shut, what difference is the key?
I agree with that statement. However, it was made.
Go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until such time as the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. And I want to be clear on the record that that's without prejudice to another case being brought if need be once the city is permitted access to this trailer to be able to assess what additional repairs may be called for. Okay. Number
13, Mr. Jacruti, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 115. Mr. Picazzi, this is case number SMG021227, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jacruti. The property address is 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 125. During inspection on 9-5, the inspectors found that they had plumbing leaks, dilapidated or inoperative appliances, broken inoperative windows, and dilapidated or inoperative doors.
Okay, the amount of the fine the city is seeking?
The city is asking for $500 per day until compliance is met.
Are there any life safety issues involved here? That would be a few health issues from what I'm looking at.
Yes, I would have to say that I don't have any underlying life safety. Yes, there are plenty of health issues. And if need be, I have a report from the health department on their recent inspection as well.
I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $500 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 14, Mr. Jacruti, 10 Allison Lane, trailer 102.
This is case number SMG021228, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jacruti. Property address is 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 102. Upon inspection on 9-5, violations noted were broken inoperative windows, dilapidated or improperly installed electrical fixtures. The porch awning is dilapidated and needs repair. The city is asking for $500 per day until compliance is met or until it maxes out at $15,000.
So we have inoperative windows.
Inoperative windows, electrical fixtures dilapidated and improperly installed, and the porch.
Safety issues?
Not underlined, but evident.
Which ones are
evident? Once again, you have the window issue.
Windows being screwed shut?
Yes, sir. Screwed shut, broken. You also have electrical system hazard due to...
Right, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $500 per day, commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 15, Alan Darren Chifrudi, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 135, west end of the park. Save the city.
This is case number SMG-021236, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jafruti. Property address is 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 135 on the west end of the park. The last inspection on this property was performed on 9-5. The property or the trailer is vacant. However, it still has dilapidated and or broken windows, exterior doors, and stairs. Again, this property is not occupied.
Life safety issues that you know of?
Currently, no.
Fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 16, Ali Darren Jafruti, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 117, rear south side of property.
This is case number SMG-021238, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jafruti. The property is 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 117, the rear south side of the property. Last inspection was performed on 9-5. The violations found on this particular trailer were dilapidated, broken or inoperative windows, and improper stairs.
Life safety issues?
And no, sir. None that are evident, other than the windows.
And you had access to this?
Actually, no. No access.
Okay. Then I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day, commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. And that order is going to be without prejudice to any further notices of noncompliance that may be warranted once the city obtains access to the property. Case number 17, Ali Darren Jafruti, 127 Madison Avenue, trailer number 127.
Yes, sir. This is case number SMG-021240, City of Daytona Beach versus Ali Darren Jafruti. Property address is 127 Madison Avenue, trailer number 127. Last inspection on this property was on 9-5. It is vacant and no entry was allowed.
Okay. Any life safety issues you're aware of?
None that I'm aware of at this time. However, I had no entry into the trailer.
All right. I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. And that order will be, once again, without prejudice to any further notice of violation that may be appropriate once the city obtains access to the interior of the unit. Case number 18, ADJ and SRJ Investments, LLC. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? I assume that, once again, is Mr. Jafruti?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Jafruti's not here. This one pertains to 215 Kingston Avenue. Green Building, units 1 through 5.
This is case number SMG-031243, City of Daytona Beach versus ADJ and SRJ Investments, LLC. The last property inspection was performed on 9-5. On the green buildings, it is occupied. The maintenance person on site had no keys, and we were allowed no entry. There has been no progress as far as the notations go in the
permits and licensing section of this property and its permits. There are no permits, and there's absolutely no activity.
And it's occupied.
And it's occupied.
And you have not been permitted access.
I have not been permitted access in the green. One building, 1 through 5. That's correct.
Which contains 5 units.
That's correct. Per the building...
You have a single building contains 5 units that you haven't been given access to.
That's correct on this particular day.
Do we know anything of the status of compliance as far as these various violations are concerned?
Negative. I've had no communication from the property owner. There's been no new notations by permits and licensing on the condition of the property.
And you were out there that day conducting this inspection and they wouldn't let you in?
That's correct.
And were some of the violations that they were cited for to begin with that you weren't able to confirm one way or the other, did they include life safety violations?
Yes, they did.
I'll find the respondent the sum of $500 per day commencing September 5, 2012. And continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 19, ADJ and SRJ Investments LLC.
Mr. McKellar, on that one, you did not announce but without prejudice, but I presume. I'll ask. This is one where the city was not granted access.
Well, they've been in it before.
That's correct.
They prepared a list of violations.
That's correct.
They've been back to inspect. They were precluded access.
Correct.
I mean, I'll go ahead and specify it's without prejudice to any further notice of violation that may be warranted once the city gets to conclude its inspection. Case number 19, ADJ and SRJ Investments LLC, 215 Kingston Avenue, Beige Building, units 6 through 10. What say the city?
This is case number SMG031244, City of Daytona Beach versus ADJ and SRJ Investments, LLC. Property address is 215 Kingston Avenue, Beige Buildings, Unit 6 through 10. The last inspection performed on this property was on 9-5. The inspector found infestation, dilapidated interior surfaces, dilapidated water heater, electrical system hazard, plumbing fixtures, dilapidated plumbing system hazard, dilapidated exterior doors, and no smoke detectors. City's asking for $500 per day until compliance is met or until the max is out at $15,000.
Okay, are these units occupied?
215, what color are we at? Beige. That one was. And the inspector, there are a couple of units that the inspectors were allowed entry into, as you can tell by the pictures. Obviously, if they're in, there's no interior pictures, they didn't allow access. But if they did get inside, my inspectors took plenty of pictures.
All right. I'm going to find the respondent the sum of $500 per day, commencing September 5, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first here. Case number 20, ADJ and SRJ Investments LLC, 215 Kingston Avenue, Burgundy Buildings, units 11 through 15.
This is case number SMG031245, City of Daytona Beach versus ADJ and SRJ Investments LLC. Property address is 215 Kingston Avenue, Burgundy Buildings, Units 11 through 15. The last property inspection was performed on 9-5. The inspector noted dilapidated interior surfaces, and they have yet to meet the zoning requirement of the reduction in unit numbers. No permits applied for or issued at this time. There is no occupational license for the property at this time, and it's in violation of the zoning restraints set forth by the zoning and building official before this project started. And that requirement was to reduce the 15 units, including the 3 buildings, down to 6, which means 2 units per. They have not done that.
Some obvious life safety issues.
Correct.
I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $500 per day commencing September 5, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or until the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Okay. Anything else we want to say about Mr. Giuffrutti while we're here? Does he have more stuff coming down the pike as far as things that are to come into compliance? Or between this batch and the last batch of orders I just signed, are we nearing the end of this saga? At least as far as our role is concerned.
As far as our role is concerned, we're carrying on with compliance dates.
Okay. All right. That's the end of our agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate? Okay, if not,